We have already arrived at the midpoint of Advent. We've completed 2 weeks already. Today's the third Sunday, and exactly 2 weeks from today is Christmas Day, so we're really in the middle, and Advent goes by so fast. That's part of the reason why the church has a kind of urgency these days. We have to prepare. We have to prepare now, today, because the Lord is coming, and if we don't prepare, he might come and we won't be ready. That's the spirit of Advent. Well, in today's liturgy, there are two major themes: joy and patience. And they go together, joy and patience. Perhaps the most obvious one and the most appealing one is joy. Joy. The third Sunday of Advent is traditionally known as the Sunday of Rejoicing. In Latin, Gaudete, Gaudete Sunday. That's the reason for the pink-colored candle and the pink or rose-colored vestments. Gaudete Sunday. Why should we rejoice today? Should we simply rejoice because someone tells us to, or because we have a pink candle? That's not enough of a reason. I know people like to see the pink vestments, but even that is not enough of a reason to have joy. Why do we rejoice? Well, as soon as I ask the reason, we realize, well, if there's a reason, then it's not merely a matter of feeling good. There's more to joy than that. Because feelings come and go. And what good is a joy that just comes and goes? What we really want is a joy that lasts. Real joy, if we think about it, the greatest joy has to do with love. Love. The joy of loving and of being loved. When we love others, we rejoice when they experience something good, some blessing. And when we are loved by others, we rejoice that someone has our good in mind. That really does give us joy. And once we start talking about love, of course, our minds turn to God, who is love. There's no greater joy than knowing we are loved by God and loving him in return. Now, why is joy one of the marks of the season of Advent? Because we are anticipating the coming of the Lord. Everyone knows this. That's what Advent is all about, preparing for awaiting the coming of the Lord. We're not simply happy that Christmas is near. We're rejoicing that the Lord is near. He's coming. He's near. In fact, he's already here. That's the reason for our joy. And this joy is very beautifully expressed in today's first reading from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah says that when the Lord comes, the Messiah, the whole earth will be transformed in joy. The desert will bloom with flowers, the blind will see, the deaf will hear. The redeemed will enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. That's the expression of the prophet, crowned with everlasting joy. And I know to many people that kind of language sounds too good to be true. Everlasting joy, joy that never ends, that will be a taste of heaven. Can it really come to earth? Can we really experience everlasting joy, or does our joy always disappear? Can we experience everlasting joy? Yes. And yet, not yet. We rejoice, but we also await joy in its fullness. The joy of Advent is not the joy of fulfilled expectations. It's the joy of anticipation. It's something like the joy of a pregnant mother. I've known many young couples who, after they marry, they really want to have children, but sometimes no child comes for a while. And then the wife learns she's pregnant, and she and her husband rejoice. Now, the baby isn't born yet, and everybody knows that the months of pregnancy are not easy, and childbirth is not easy, but still there's real joy in anticipation of the birth of that baby. And that's a beautiful figure to reflect on in Advent, because we think of the Blessed Virgin Mary pregnant with the Messiah. Another example we could think of when we think of joy of anticipation is the experience that children have this time of year. They're excited, they're happy, they're dreaming about Christmas. Now, they don't have anything yet. No presents yet, no toys, no parties. Just decorations and talk about Christmas and everything. But they are already rejoicing in anticipation of what will surely come. That's a real Advent experience. Okay, so rejoicing is the first theme I want to mention. The second one is patience. I said it goes together with joy, at least in this life. In heaven, we don't have to have patience. When in heaven, we can simply rejoice fully. But here, we must practice and grow in patience, because we live in a world that is full of suffering. Just think of the war in Ukraine, for example, or experience of poverty or sickness or anything. Now, patience. I already mentioned the experience of a pregnant mother. She has to wait. She might be rejoicing, but she still has to wait. There's no skipping over the 9 months that it takes for the child to develop. Another example of patience is given to us in today's second reading from the letter of St. James. He says, be patient like a farmer. A farmer awaits the growth of the seed that he has planted. We do not see the fruit right away. We have to wait for God to bring it forth. We still rejoice, knowing that there will be an abundant harvest in the future. In the meantime, we wait. Now, today's liturgy gives us an extraordinary model, an expert, you could say, an expert at joy and an expert at patience. I'm talking about St. John the Baptist. There's no greater prophet, Jesus says. Nobody greater than John the Baptist. And he's a key Advent figure, a key teacher in how to rejoice and how to be patient. We know he rejoiced when he was still in the womb. He was rejoicing at the coming of the Messiah. And he rejoiced to be able to point out the Lamb of God when he was baptized, when Jesus was baptized. But in today's gospel, John is in prison, which strikes us as being the opposite of joy. And he's not in prison because he's done anything wrong. He's there because he has been telling King Herod that it's not right for him to live with the wife of his brother. That's adultery, Herod. That's really wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Well, King Herod's response to that was to put John in prison, which is often the fate of a prophet. A prophet, or anyone who has the courage to speak the truth, ends up suffering for it. And John, while he's in prison, keeps hearing about the miracles that Jesus is doing. And we can imagine what he's experiencing. I mean, John, it's bad enough to be in prison, to be in chains. It's bad enough to be suffering this kind of treatment, even though he's innocent and Herod is the guilty one. But John's whole mission is to prepare the way for the Messiah. Point him out, there's the Lamb of God. And now the Messiah has come and John is locked away in darkness. So Jesus, to give John some encouragement and some consolation, sends him the message that the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled now. The blind see. The deaf hear, the poor have the good news preached to them. In other words, the joy that Isaiah spoke about, the rejoicing that would take place when the Messiah comes, is already here. Now, Jesus does not mention another part of Isaiah's prophecy, the part where Isaiah proclaims liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners. John is still in prison. He gets the message of joy. He gets the message of the arrival of the Messiah, but he's still in prison. And at least one blind man still does not see. That's King Herod. blinded by his power and by his lust. He's deaf to the word of truth, and John is the one suffering for it. Now here's the challenge. The challenge for John is also the challenge for all of us, because we are, in a sense, imprisoned in the fallen world, in this valley of tears. The Lord is with us already. The Lord is already at work in our midst. He has come to save us, but we often feel like John, in the darkness of prison, victims of injustice, not rejoicing that God is here, but mourning that God is not here. At least that's how it seems. Or it seems at least he's not doing what we think he should do. How can we rejoice? Here we have to separate our idea of joy from our idea of feeling good. That's why I said this is not, we're not talking about feelings here. John does not feel good in prison. He's cold, he's hungry, he's alone, he's afraid. Does this mean he cannot rejoice? No. He can rejoice in faith. He can rejoice in the Lord. He knows God is at work. He knows that God is saving his people, and this gives him joy. And this is our situation. I say John is the example for us. We have plenty of reasons for sadness, for complaining. There are people who do wrong to us. We suffer from poverty and corruption and betrayal. And the world is full of problems. Sicknesses and family problems, and people are overworked and underpaid and misunderstood and depressed and all sorts of things, even as Christmas approaches. And yet, all of that does not defeat our joy, because joy comes not from feelings, but from love, from being loved by God and loving him in return and loving his people. This is our joy, that God is at work in our lives, that he is coming now. So let us be patient as we rejoice in hope, as we rejoice in anticipation, preparing for the coming of the Lord.